My name is Adrian Westney, and I'd like to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This radio broadcast is one which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps of the Seabrook Church. I hope that you will stay tuned to our program today because, as usual, we have a very special message for you and some great music also. The title of today's message is When God Calls Your Name. We're going to hear a special song written and performed by Pastor Wendley Phipps, a song entitled I Give You My Life. This program is sure to be an inspiring one. This message is sure to be an inspiring one. And after today's message, after you've experienced it and heard it, I'm sure you're going to be blessed. So stay tuned to our program. Here's music from Wendley Phipps.
Take and use it, Lord. It was a cool night. The soft moonlight mingled with the wind. Stretched out on a mattress with only a quilt to cover himself, a young boy lay sleeping under the gentle rays of the evening light. Suddenly, a voice broke through his dreams and whispered his name, Samuel. The young boy opened his eyes, sat up, leaped from under the blanket that had been drawn around him, ran along the stone floor with his bare feet, stood at the door of the bedchamber from which he thought he had heard his name called. Eli, said the young man, you called me. The old patriarch opened his bleary eyes. I didn't call you, son. You must have been dreaming. Go back to sleep. That little 15-year-old boy went back to his bed. This time he lay awake, wide-eyed, uneasy, unable to shake the certainty, the confidence that he wasn't hearing things. He heard a voice in the night. As that young boy lay on his bed, the same voice spoke again, only this time with a little more urgency and authority. Samuel! Once more, he stood outside of Eli's door, confident that it was the old man who had called his name. This time, Eli was not amused. Samuel, I did not call you. Go back to bed. Let me sleep. Samuel sauntered back to his room with a quizzical look on his brow. I know I heard my name. As he lay there on his bed, between sleep and wake, he heard the voice again, a third time, Samuel! He scampered to Eli's room. Eli, somebody's calling my name. Suddenly it dawned upon the old man that the insistent voice that was calling Samuel's name, the voice that was pursuing this intern in the ministry, was none other than the voice of God. 15 years old. And Samuel could hear God calling his name. You know, you're never too young to hear God calling your name. Sometimes he'll call your name in the midst of your crises. There are parents here today whose children have spent their whole lives in health challenges. We have a son who for more than 10 years has had to endure a medical procedure every day of his life. He's fine now, but amidst that trial, I know I heard God calling his name. Maybe you've had a child who has stayed in trouble with the law. And you know every time there was a problem, are you listening to me today? An incident, you know. You heard God calling his name. Yes, yes. That young man heard that voice call his name, and his mentor Eli said to him, son, the next time you hear that voice, you answer, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Yes, brothers and sisters, ever since the dawn of creation, God has always pursued the hearts of the young. God has always had a love affair with young people. Most of the great heroes of Scripture were teenagers when God called them and used them. Daniel, David, Solomon, Timothy, all were young men who committed themselves to the Lord early in their lives. When the Philistine Goliath drew near to David across that brook and Goliath saw David, the Bible says that he disdained David. For he was but a youth. Little boy, what are you doing out here on this battlefield? This is a man's job. Go back to tending your sheep. Brothers and sisters, it seems like most of the heroes of Scripture were teenagers when God called them. You know, there's something very precious about those years. And isn't it interesting that the world is biased toward young people, and often the church is biased against young people. Are you listening to me today? They do more to attract and woo and encourage young people than we often do in the church. Even the Apostle Paul addressed this bias when he told the young minister Timothy, listen, let me tell you something, Timothy. Let no man despise your youth. Amen. There are going to be people in the church who think just because you're young, you shouldn't be up here on the rostrum. But let no man despise your youth. Amen. You know, it's so convenient to say in church, you know, let the young people do their thing. And we older people, we'll do our thing. We can stay together. We can learn from them and they can learn from us. You know you were called of God, and when you're called of God, young man, young lady, don't let people put you down because of your youth. Sometimes it's hard to come home again, I know. Because people at home want to forever see you as little Johnny and not as Dr. Johnny. You know what I'm talking about. Someone once said, youth is not a period of time, it is a state of mind. Someone said, I love all these poetic descriptions of what youth really is, but someone said, a man doesn't grow old because he's lived a certain number of years. He grows old because he deserts his ideal and his dream. The years may wrinkle his skin, but deserting his ideals and his dream, that's what wrinkles his soul. Another said, you will remain young as long as you are open to what is beautiful, good, and great. In one of Bruce Catton's final books, Waiting for the Morning Train, he wrote, youth is exactly like old age. It is a time of waiting for a big trip to an unknown destination. The chief difference is that youth waits for the morning express. We older folks are waiting for the night train. Another poet said, all of us can be young at heart as long as we don't lose the love of wonder, the childlike appetite for what comes next. Someone else once wrote, you are as young as your faith, as old as your doubts, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your despair. Youth is not a time of life, it is a state of mind. One writer wrote, a product of the imagination. Youth is a vigor of the emotions, a predominance of courage over timidity, an appetite for adventure. And I can hear someone saying, listening to all that poetry about youth, tell that to my arthritis. Tell that to my dim eyes, my slowed steps, my bald head. All this rhetoric and poetry about being young forever is really misleading. Come on now. Get real. Youth is a season of life that you will pass through. And some of us are way past through. Youth is a wonderful and dangerous season of life. Someone who started feeling the aches and pains of middle age once wrote, blessed are those who from the start know that youth is definitely more than a state of heart. But this morning I want to preach to those of you who are young, and yes, to those who remember when you were young. Those days of youth, they were free, confusing, troubling, vulnerable days. They were wonderful days. Dangerous days. You know, God has always called young men and women to do great things in their youth. Hannah, Esther, Ruth, Mary, Elizabeth. God has always enlisted young people in the advancement of his kingdom. Let me read you something from one of Dr. King's speeches. Blew my mind. Listen to what Dr. King said. We cannot have an enlightened democracy with one great group living in ignorance.
That's right.
We cannot have a healthy nation with one-tenth of the people ill-nourished, sick, harboring germs of disease. That's germs of disease which recognize no color lines and who obey no Jim Crow laws. We cannot have a nation orderly and sound with one group so ground down and thwarted that it is almost forced into unsocial attitudes and crime. We cannot be truly Christian people as long as we flaunt the central teachings of Jesus' brotherly love and the golden rule. We cannot come to full prosperity with one great group so ill-delayed that it cannot buy goods. So as we gird ourselves to defend democracy from foreign attack, let us see to it that increasingly at home we give fair play and free opportunity for all people. The spirit of Lincoln still lives, that spirit born of the teachings of the Nazarene, who promised mercy to the merciful, who lifted the lowly, who strengthened the weak. The man can write now. Ate with publicans, made the captives free. In the light of this divine example, the doctrines of demagogues shiver in their chaff. Already closer understanding links Saxon and Friedman in mutual sympathy. America, he wrote, experiences a new birth of freedom in her sons and daughters. She incarnates the spirit of her martyred chief. Their loyalty is repledged, their devotion renewed to the work he left unfinished. And then he wrote, my heart throbs anew in the hope that inspired by the example of Lincoln, imbued with the spirit of Christ, that young people will cast down the last barrier to perfect freedom, and that I, with my brother of blackest hue, possessing my rightful heritage, holding my head erect, may stand beside the Saxon, a Negro, and yet a man. I believe Dr. King was called in his youth to lead this fight for freedom because that amazing speech from which I read just a portion was written by Dr. King and delivered in April of 1944 when Dr. King was 15 years old. My Lord. Now let's be honest for a moment. When you say young people, let's be honest, most older people think negative thoughts. Let's be honest. What do you think of when you hear the words young people? You know, when you just say it, young people, there's a temptation to say it with disgust and disdain. Now I'm telling the truth. Young, those young people. People. Ask yourself, what adjectives most readily come to your mind when you hear those words, young people? Young people, can I just, let me be honest, I want you to tune in, young people, because you're going to learn something about us as older people. You got to understand, young people, that most people today, when they think young people, they think rude. Mercy. Disrespectful. I was in the library the other day. Library's supposed to be a nice, quiet place. But some young people came in. Now don't leave me out here all by myself, church. You know I'm trying to help young people to see how they are often stereotyped and viewed. When you think young people, you think self-centered, pleasure-seeking. You think of a lost generation. I just came here today to encourage young people. Yes, sir. You have a chance to prove all those stereotypes wrong. Amen. You can be kind. You can be reverent. Amen. You can be courteous, yes, and prove them wrong. I believe those words, young people, need to be proclaimed in our churches with pride and thanksgiving. We ought to say it this way, our young people. When we don't encourage young people to participate in the church service, we are Goliath saying to little David, you're just a youth. Young people, please don't confirm the stereotypes that older people have of you. You've got to know that many older people see young people as know-it-alls. So learn to listen. Amen. Be respectful, yes, of those in authority God has placed in your life. If some young person is sitting beside you, just make sure they're listening today. Right. Young people, just because we don't shop at the Gap and Old Navy and Structure and Eddie Bauer, don't label us as just being behind the times. We had our stores too. Many older people see young people as, you got to understand how people see young people today. We see them as lacking in moral principles. Don't confirm those stereotypes with your conduct. Prove them wrong. Be a young man of honor and principle. Remember, you can learn something from some of us who are behind the times. Remember, all of us who are getting older, the only reason that we are here, young people, is because we pass through the pitfalls that you're passing through. We know the temptations you face. We know the temptation of looking at your youth and looking at your health as being infinite. And measureless. We know the temptation to see time as limitless. We used to act like we were supermen too. We used to act like we were invincible. One day I got in a car and drove from Montreal, Canada, nonstop to Fort Pierce, Florida. I said nonstop. I was young then. We know what it's like to feel like we're supermen. We know what you're going through. We know what it's like to study in the dark, do your homework in the dark until your eyes go bad. We can learn. You can learn from our mistakes. We used to stay out all night too, like we didn't need any sleep. We know the temptation is to live like the bats live. You know, bats sleep all day and roam all night. Well, listen, young people, we learned you're not Batman. So get a grip. Stop staying up late.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on, turn with me in your Bible, Psalm 127. I'm trying to preach to some young people here today. Psalm 127, verse 2. Oh, Lord, are you with me today, church? Psalm 127. This is for some young person. Look at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And listen to what this is. You need to write this text down and paste it on your front door if you got a young person who needs a watch.
Come on, preacher. Make it plain. Yes, sir.
Listen to this verse. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For God gives to those he loves sleep.
Amen.
Huh? No wonder George Bernard Shaw said, youth is such a wonderful thing, it's a shame to waste it on the young. You see, when you're young, you don't look upon life as a whole. You don't realize that short-term pleasure reaps long-term pain, and short-term pain reaps long-term pleasure. You don't realize that habits you acquire thoughtlessly in your youth will stay with you the rest of your life and will dog your steps till you get to the gates of the kingdom.
Mercy. Lord Jesus.
When you're young, you don't realize that you don't have an endless store of enthusiasm and energy, and you shouldn't squander and waste what you got. Young people, your youth is the best time to learn habits of self-control. That's the best time to control and discipline your body.
That's right.
Is when you're young.
Amen.
Because the older you get.
That's right.
Somebody say, the older you get. Brothers and sisters, because God knows he will judge, and the Bible says he hath appointed a day in which he will judge. because he knows he will judge, God has always contended for the affection of young people, because he's going to judge young people too. Young people, you don't keep that in your mind, but he's going to judge you too. Some of us are just glad that we made it out of that period before God had to judge us. But some of you, judgment is going to catch you in your youth. And when you stand before the judgment bar of God in your teenage year, young people, you think it's cool to sit up front in church with Jesus on your mind? Oh, you don't think it's cool to do that? It's cool to do that, but I'm telling you, when you sit in heavenly places,
yes, sir.
When you sit in front of the seat of a God who is sitting on his throne, believe me, you're going to want to be front and center. You're going to be running. You're going to want to be right up front, praising him, thanking him, glorifying.
That brings us to the end of our message for today and just about to the end of our program. We just have a couple of announcements before we are completely finished. First of all, I would like to thank Pastor Phipps for the message today. I do hope that it was one that was a blessing to you. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 208. That's program number 208, which will give you the title, When God Calls Your Name. Also, if you'd like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Lanham, Maryland. The phone number for directions is 301-577-6342. Please keep in mind that worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. We appreciate your support here at The More Abundant Life. And if you would like to correspond with us, should you need some information, say, on the music that we play here on The More Abundant Life, please do so at the following address. That address is P.O. Box 1078. That's Post Office Box 1078. And that's in Columbia, Maryland. The zip is 21045. Correspond at that address and we will be happy to give you all the information we can about the music and the ministry of Pastor Wendley Phipps. Remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. Please join us again for another program here on The More Abundant Life.
Give what's in